Blog Talk Radio.
It's Saturday, nothing.
Let me take you down.
Strawberry Fields Forever, the song by the English band The Beatles, written by John Lennon. That is Lennon McCartney. It was released on 13th of February 1967 as a double A-side single with Penny Lane. It represented the departure of the group's previous singles and novel listening experience to the contemporary pop audience. While the song initially divided and confused music critics and the group's fans, it proved highly influential in the emerging psychedelic genre. Its accompanying promotional film, similarly recognized as the pioneer work in the medium of music video. Lennon based the song on his childhood memories of playing in the garden of Strawberry Field, a Salvation Army children's home in Liverpool. Starting in November 1966, the band spent 45 hours in the studio spread over 5 weeks, creating three versions of the track. The final recording combined two of those versions. I'll do that to me now. those versions, which were entirely different in tempo, mood, and musical key. It features reverse recording, instrumentation, mellotron, flute sounds, and Indian swarm idol, a tape loops and fade-out, fade-in coda, as well as cello and brass arrangements by producer George Martin. For the promotional film, the band used experimental techniques such as reverse effects, jump cuts, and superimposition. They were playing with all sorts of different sounds, different instruments at the time. I like the French horn. Anytime the French horn got elicited. But welcome back to Hattaday Hump Day. Tonight, 41 years ago today, December 8th, 1980, a deranged man took the life of John Lennon in New York City, in front of his house, his home. He shot five times, put four in Lennon's back. I remember I cried. I didn't realize how much Lennon and McCartney and George and Ringo meant to me. Very sad. Well, we're going to do a tribute show in honor of John Lennon. He was 40 years old at the time. We are going to play some music, helping people call in, talk about anything about what John influenced them, or anything about the Beatles. And we'll see how how it goes. I'm Jay Hatter, your host for the evening. With me is Deborah Lee. Yes, Deb.
I wanted to tell you that Wayne Dent did just that, and he's sitting in the room right now grabbing a beanbag.
What's that? Hey, Wayne.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
Yeah.
Hey, Wayne.
I'm listening. John Lennon's my hero, so I seen y'all was having a special. I'm just going to wrap gifts and listen to y'all tonight for a while.
Yeah, there's not a December 8th that goes by that I don't realize what the date is. That saddens me. So long ago, it doesn't seem like 41 years ago.
Yeah, he's my main man right there. I mean, he touched up more. He done a whole lot of women's rights,
really?
Prison rights. He did a whole lot in his life. He was killed by Nixon. Killed him, by the way. Oh, that's what he died. Anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, anybody that says that he wasn't an important person, I'll tell you what, he was important enough to have Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, basically ban him from coming into the country.
Yeah, Nixon said if he came back, he's going to kill him, and he did. When Nixon left the country the first time, old Nixon said he couldn't ever come back. If he did, he was going to have him killed. And that's what happened to him. He came back and he
was
killed.
The government, both sides, the Democrats, with Johnson and then Nixon, they both considered John Lennon a big threat, being that he's so influential, he could influence war policy.
Yeah, he had that album come out with something. He had that album come out with all the newspaper articles in front of it, and it had Mel Tate sung and Richard Nixon dancing together naked. On the front page, that was a hell of an album.
They had live interview with him and Yoko naked in the bed. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I remember that well. That's my time period. I remember it well. Me.
Yeah, they were definitely afraid of him. Him, Bob Dylan was another one. Paul McCartney, I'm sure. He was so anti. He was anti-war. That was deal. The Vietnam War.
If you get a chance to get the album cover and see a picture of you see Richard Nixon naked dancing with Mel Tate, and Nixon didn't like it at all. I mean, Nixon didn't like it at all. But his album cover is great.
Is that on Sgt. Pepper? Which one is on?
It's cover. I'll look it up. I got a couple of copies there, but this one, it all has the newspaper articles in front of it. Talk about Attica, Buddy Attica, and all those places, and Woman is the Nigger of the World, all that's on the front page. So it's a hell of an album cover. You gotta check it out.
Yeah, John had a vendetta against the press of what they did to him and the Beatles, misquoting him and causing a anti-Beatle hate. movement throughout this country and the world. He did not say what the government said or the people said that he said about Jesus Christ. That's what was not true. You could listen to the interview. It's not what he said. But from then on, he was very leery about being microanalyzed. Everything he did, everything he said, every song he wrote, every word in the songs were analyzed and trying to associate it with drugs and psychedelics or what some of it was. But what he did, him and I think Bob Dylan did it too. They started writing nonsensical lyrics.
Yeah. He did it to
laugh at the media, and they bit. Like Green Onion. There's none of them that is just nonsensical words. Classic Beatles. Then they started the Paul's Dead.
Yeah.
Which was huge. Abbey Road, the whole album is filled with the little pictures and meanings. Yeah.
He was the biggest band ever, I think. I think he was the greatest band ever of all time, as far as I'm concerned. Didn't be there at the time soon, but he was the best of all time. Every week, number one song was their songs. They put every song he put out, we go right to number one. It was like
68.
Yeah.
I think what his plan was, it gave the haters and fans, the guys who microanalyze musicians like that, gave them something to be busy with, so they didn't tear into him like he did. And then it worked. It seemed to work.
The hell of a person.
They laughed at him, I'm sure.
You want to play your music while you're there? I'm going to wrap this with his for a minute and listen to y'all talk. I'm tired of talking.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
I said, well, y'all go ahead. I'm going to wrap some gifts up, and I'm not going to talk much more.
Still not hearing him. He said that to go ahead. He's going to continue to wrap gifts. He's going to hang out and listen.
Okay. Yeah,
so
I don't know why.
I thought if you choose one of the songs to play on your topic wall, I'll look up something for you to say when it's over. Just tell me which one you want to hear next.
I gotta try to get to the studio. I know I'm in there.
Well, it's actually on your topic board.
Oh, it is. Glad you're good.
Absolutely.
You're back. Okay. Yeah. The only George passed away in the year 2000, I believe it was. The two Beatles that are no longer with us. Okay, there we go. My topic.
Or we can just run them in order, and I'll just pull stuff for each one. It's up to you.
I'm there. Yeah, you put it on my topic, right? Okay.
Yep, so I did.
Okay, we'll see. We want to go instant karma.
Push play, and then I will find the information for you to educate on that song. So,
yeah, this is what I bought a 45 of. I had to have this song. It's the karma.
I love this song. Here we go.
Instant karma's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head. You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead. What in the world you thinking of? Laughing in the face of love. What on earth you trying to do? It's up to you. Yeah, you. Instant karma's gonna get you. Gonna look you right in the face. Better get yourself together, darling. Join the human race. How in the world are you gonna enemies. Better recognize your brothers. Everyone you meet.
It's Instant Karma, also titled Instant Karma, We All Shine On. It's an English song written by John Lennon, released on a single on Apple Records on February 1970. The lyric focuses on the concept in which the casualty of one action is immediate rather than born out over a lifetime. The single was credited to Lennon Ono at the Plastic Ono Band, apart from the U.S., where the credit was John Ono Lennon. The song reached the top five in the British and American singles charts, competing with the Beatles' Let It Be in the U.S., where it became the first solo single by a member of the band to sell millions of copies. Instant Karma was conceived, written, and recorded and released within a period of 10 days, making it one of the fastest released songs in pop music history. The recording was produced by Phil Spector, marking a comeback for the American producer after his self-imposed retirement in 1966. Yeah, I think I wore a needle out on my player with Instant Karma. Yeah, John Lennon was quite an activist, anti-war, and very vocal. He was trying to gain partial guardianship of one of his sons, and he contributed to that, the reason why he was banned from coming back into the country. There was an interview, I believe it was David Cavett, that has that interview where they said why. And if that's it's very cloak and dagger, not allowing him and Yoko back into the country before. For felonious reasons. Beatles were huge. They were huge in my lifetime. I'm a Stones fan, but the Beatles took it. They took it. They're the ones that swarmed the country. I ran across an interview, not an interview, but a tape. I can't find it, but I have to find it again. Where it interviews John and Paul, not together, separate, when they sat down and said, okay, everything was listed as Lennon-McCartney as a duo. So they had to split ownership of the songs. So they had to declare which ones was which, because they said a lot of the musical tempo and such was McCartney, and then Lennon would do the upper high side, the intro, outros, and piece these things together. And that was a hell of a lot of songs. So they had to sit down and decide what songs to take, what songs to give up. And I remember John saying, I think it was Twist and Shout, or she was just 17, saying, I should have grabbed that one. It was, if I should have said that, but that, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when they sat there and went through hundreds of those songs and saying which ones is which.
Hey, Hatter?
Yeah.
Hatter. Did you know that John put out a song after they broke up, and in one of the songs he said, the only thing you did was yesterday, and that was another day. That's what Lennon said about Who Wrote the Music. He said, yeah, the only thing you wrote was yesterday. And so that's in one of the songs.
Yeah, yesterday, yeah, that's more, that's, I would always say that yesterday was more McCartney.
It was, that's what he said, he saw McCartney, he said, McCartney, the only thing McCartney did was, it's called How Do You Sleep? And so they said the only thing McCartney did was yesterday, and the rest of them, he wrote the rest of them.
Yeah, it's hard, it would be hard to say who the better writer is. Go ahead.
You know, it's funny that Wayne just said that, Hatter, because when I looked up the stuff on yesterday, since we're speaking of it, that's the one we'll play next. But it does say, yeah. Yesterday is a song by the English band The Beatles, written by Paul McCartney and credited to Lennon. It was first released on the album Help in August 65, except in the United States, where it was issued as a single in September, and the song reached number one on the U.S. charts, and it subsequently appeared on the U.K. EP Yesterday in March 1966, and it made its U.S. album debut on Yesterday and Today in June 1966. And before I push play on that one, if you look on the chat wall above the information on Instant Karma, maybe you could read that little excerpt on John before we play Yesterday.
Okay, on the chat wall? Okay.
Yeah.
Yesterday. You know, I saw on Australia's Got Talent, girl from the, she was, I don't know what island, she looked like Polynesian. She chose the song Yesterday to sing. I go, oh man, what a bad choice. I mean, you have to be spot on. I'll tell you what, she was great. She's about 14 years old. She just killed it.
Wow.
I'm looking up Yesterday, okay.
Well, no. I just read about Yesterday. I just want you to look on the chat wall. Before we play it, I put a piece there for you to read about John. Right above, see where it says Instant Karma on the chat wall? Not the topic board, the chat wall.
Okay.
Right above it, you'll see John Winston Ono Lennon.
That I was on it. Okay, hold on. We chat a lot. Or...
Did you lose the
chat? Okay, I found the group. Jesus.
Okay, cool. Right above what
okay,
I wrote
John,
for Instant
John,
Karma, I wrote something for you on John.
The John Winston Ono Lennon?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, John Lennon was born John Winston Ono. No, not Ono. Winston Lennon. God darn it. Okay, nobody can chat. I'm on this chat reading this. It jumps. I got that. Let me find it. I actually had it in front of me, and then somebody said
no
something.
No problem. I just hit refresh.
Again.
I just put it in the bottom.
Okay. John Winston Lennon. I'm sure Ono was not part of his born name.
It says John Winston Ono Lennon, which was his name when he died, and then in parentheses it says born John Winston Lennon. I thought,
see,
you know, everybody has their opinion about Yoko Ono, but I think it's romantic that John took her name too.
You know, Paul was asked that many times, and Paul said, "Let me put this to rest." Yoko Ono did not break up the Beatles. He said,
"Yeah,
it was odd. It was the only odd thing was that it was only four of us always, and plus Epstein, I believe, in the recording. And so it was always just them for years. It was just them. Then all of a sudden, John started bringing Yoko to the sessions." Not that she had interrupted anything, it was just different. But he said the group was suffocating. They needed to split up. It was inevitable. They knew it. John knew it. Paul certainly knew it. Maybe the way and the timing and the way it happened wasn't planned the best. I don't know. But Yoko Ono, who I contributed for many years of being a good part of why they split up, Paul said, "That's not true. That's not the truth. Yoko had nothing to do with it. It was us. Four guys that did what they did, the best that they could do. And then when it was over, it was basically over. When you're spending time on albums, you're not in the studio at the same time. That's a clue that the band's not seeing. I don't want to play." But anyway, around 10, I don't know what it is. Okay, on December 8th, 1980, Mark Chapman shot Lennon twice in the back, twice in the shoulder, at close range. Outside of his the Dakota, his home in New York City, Lennon was rushed in a police cruiser to the emergency room in the Roosevelt Hospital, where he was pronounced dead on arrival at 11:15 p.m. and shook the world. He's only 40 years old. And he died. His estimated worth was $260 million, which nowadays would have been $640 million. So he's right up there with the McCartney. McCartney's probably the wealthiest.
Yeah.
But that's not bad for 40 years on the planet.
Yesterday, and then you can talk some more, because yesterday's the one we just read about. So let's do that for a moment.
Good.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Why she had to go, I don't know. She wouldn't say. I said something wrong. Now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Well, that's yesterday. It's a song written by the Beatles, written by Paul McCartney of the Beatles. It was credited to Lennon McCartney, so it was one they had to split up, I guess. It was the first release on this album, Help. in August 1965, except in the United States, where it was issued as a single in September 1965. Help was the second movie of the Beatles. The first one was Hard Day's Night. Interesting movies, if you like them. I enjoy them. The song reached number one on the U.S. charts. It subsequently appeared on the U.K. Yesterday in March 1966 and made its U.S. Album debut on Yesterday and Today in June 1966. So far, it's far away. 1966. And all I wanted was Beatle boots for Christmas.
Well, that was a great year because that was the year Sweet was born.
There you go. 66, yeah. I was a little kid. Yeah, the Beatles were huge. I remember a friend of mine, Ricky Roberts. He had, he got Beatle boots. He had one of those. What are those English jackets called?
Beetle boots?
Gary Puckett. The Gary Puckett and the Union Gap used to wear these uniform-type coats. They were double-breasted, and they had no collars. They had to cut out like a priest up the collar line. Anyway. Yeah, the Beatles. Everything from trading cards to comic
wigs.
Books to lunch
wigs.
Pails to lunch pails.
They had wigs when they first came out.
What happened when they first came out?
The Beatle wig.
A wig?
The wig? Yeah.
Did you have one
wig?
Wig? Did you have a Beatles wig, Wayne?
No, I wanted one. My dad, I wanted to grow my hair like a Beatles. My dad would let me. Back here was all bore haircuts or flat tops. So, you know, I'd let me grow my hair out. Yeah, flat top was long hair to them.
So you were a Lennon fan more than McCartney or George?
Oh, by far, by far.
Yeah.
As long as I've known Lady A, her profile picture or her profile background has been John Lennon. She's a big fan too.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I remember.
I wrote a poem to John Lennon about 4 years ago. You'll see my tribute poem. I'm getting put on a filter if you'll see it. I don't even get to read it or nothing, but I've got a tribute to John Lennon.
If you have a tribute to him, why don't you read it?
Oh, let me go. I'll be back in just a minute. I'm going to go over to the computer. I'm going to put my dressing board right now. I'll be back in a minute.
Cool.
So,
Hatter, what were you doing when you found out
that Lennon had been shot?
Yeah. Like, where were you?
I was newly married, and I was I didn't find out till the next day. Because I got up with dawn and go to work and until I turned on the radio. Yeah. So I found out at work. Bummed me out. Didn't get anything done. And then all the details started coming in for the next 48 hours. What had happened? People just couldn't believe it. I mean, this guy was on. He got his Double Infinity album. And he got two hours before or something, he got an autograph. And then when Don came back, he emptied his gun.
Yeah. I think I was actually sitting there watching MTV when Colin, I can't think of the VJ's name, but he had the most somber voice. Or maybe it was the chick. I don't know, but I remember all of them.
You know what, Deb?
What?
Howard Cosell he announced that during Monday Night Football game that Donna had just been shot.
Yeah, so I guess on each person's, whatever that particular person did that day, they also included saying something about him or announcing his murder on their show. And I can picture the VJs and their faces and the somber tones in their voices as each one would say something. It was a really, really,
it was another one of those,
for lack of a better way to put it, quote, another one of the days the music died.
Most definitely. It, you know, when, if there's a tragic plane crash or some helicopter accident that, you know, other musicians had sadly experienced and ended their life. But to have John Lennon, anti-war, peace, anti-gun, to be end his life that way, it was just so senseless. Most hated man in the world was Mark Chapman. I didn't even want to mention his name.
Yeah.
He gets no credit. He gets no credit for me. No.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. When people talk about the, as you said, the plane crashes, there's an overwhelming sadness, and there was a collective sadness. But with John Lennon, the sadness smacked you, and then the anger took over. The rage at that man, who, how could he do such a thing, is what people really remember about that day, because they were sobbing. Really mad.
Chapman was doing a bunch of acid at the time. I think the CIA had him doing so much acid he was brainwashed. He don't remember shooting from the trigger. But he was all tripped out when they killed him. He was a paid assassin.
He said Chapman was high on drugs.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of acid at the time. He's out in Hawaii, I think. It was where he was when he flew to New York. He's out to do a bunch of acid, and for some reason he said he got on a plane, flew in, and got a gun and killed him. He don't remember doing it, but he did. Of course, he was, you know, I think the CIA involved in this stuff. They did some kind of brainwashing thing to him. But he don't remember shooting him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep. I know he's been denied.
I posted my word on the topic board if y'all want me to read it. So it's kind of a radical type poem, because me and John Lennon's tight. It's not really a
John Lennon. Him and John Lennon's tight. Well, we absolutely want to hear you read it, Wayne. They're tight, Hatter.
You know, back in 1980, Mark Chapman actually carried a gun in his suitcase from Hawaii and flew over with a gun.
That's what I said.
Imagine that. Yeah. Wow.
Show us what you got, Wayne.
Okay, this is called Lennon the Legend. And it goes like this. John, heard in his songs, vision of life shown in harmony. Self-picked elites following Nixon never saw what Lennon could see. Never left alone, lived open and spoke his word. One sentence about Jesus was all they heard. Equal equality for women, set blacks free, naked in bed, pleading to stop the war. One is bad, the other might be. Imagine it's what's living for. His album is no scratch, CD collection, one is gone. 30 years have gone by, every day I sing his songs. About the day he died, New York, he got shot. Didn't carry any hatred, still carrying hatred. Remember what he taught? Tell my story about John. It's not a story that I feel. He made the world better. That they can never kill.
Tell me a story about John. Wow.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was another day the music died.
Not a story, it's the way you feel about John. It's a feeling you have about John. It's not a story. He's part of my life.
I remember the older generation, and my parents included, had the wrong impression. They believed what the media was saying about the Beatles in its worst context.
They had Burn the Beatles.
Well, I'll tell you what, when Yesterday came out and Oh Darling and some, yeah, it just, they have, because my parents said, that's not music, they're not singing, they're, listen to this, Mom, tell me they're not singing this. I know, it was a huge movement the government started, the fire, the flames of anti-Beatles. They wanted to knock him down. We wanted to knock him down. Did not want somebody more powerful than the leader of the free world, which they feared. And the musicians back then, you can understand why Bob Dylan went into seclusion. Hell no, he's not going to get in public. He's a target.
Oh, he did a lot of radical songs when he broke up with Beatles he did, like Nigger is Woman of the World. And Mind Games and all those great, great songs that he put out after he put out the Beatles. He got a bunch of them. I think he's got 29 pretty good songs.
Yeah, so. I think the problem was the media, not only the media was micro-analyzing every word, so was the government. They were listening to,
yep,
piecing in anything they can to knock him down. They saw the power of misquoting a celebrity to tear him down, like the Beatle, the anti-Beatle, when they were burning Beatle memorabilia in was that the Mets? Was that the Mets stadium? I'm not sure what stadium it was. But I bet they wish they had it back now. Oh, yeah, it was
Mets are in New York.
That's right.
But how about that beginning there though? Hear it in his songs, Visions of Life, Show, and Harmony. Just that line right there perfectly explains. I think
now, this would be a good.
I guess what I'm trying to say is he probably would have used that line himself to explain his music had he had the chance. I think it's an absolutely perfect line, Wayne. Hear it in his song, Vision of Life, Shown in Harmony.
A good question. Which Beatle was the better poet?
Yeah, I got his poems right here in front of me.
I don't know. I would almost have to say George.
Well, George pretty good. I think I didn't like George too.
Yeah. The more I learned about the Beatles after the fact, and being more grown up, not a kid, the more I liked George Harrison. I liked the music. His chord progressions, when Tom Petty said he liked the 16th diminished, yeah. Here Comes the Sun, establishes that, shows that. Anyway,
pick another song and read something and we'll play it.
All right.
It sounds like Mind Games and Woman is the of the World, Attica State. All those songs supposed to play was protest songs. Work Class Hero.
I got to pick which ones we have in the studio there. In my joints. Okay, here we go.
I wrote something about each song on your topic board.
Yeah, I saw that. Let's do one of the first ones. One of the first, I think it was the first hit they had. Let Me Do, like the harmonica.
Okay, tell us a little something about it while I find it.
Okay, Let Me Do is a debut single by the English band, the Beatles. Backed by the other side with P.S. I Love You. When the single was originally released in the United Kingdom on the 5th of October 1962, it peaked at number 17. It was released in the United States in 64, where it became a number one hit. The song was written several years before it was recorded, and prior to the existence of the Beatles, the single features John Lennon's prominent harmonica playing and duet vocals by him and Paul McCartney. Three recorded versions of the song by the Beatles have been released, each with a different drummer. Interesting.
Wow, I didn't know that. Okay, here we go. Let Me Do.
Screaming Key. I always wanted to be a little more on David Chapman. Where is it? Okay. David Chapman fired. It says that Chapman voluntarily remained at the scene of the shooting, reading J.D. Salinger's The Catcher in the Rye until he was later arrested by police. He had been planning the killing over several months and claimed that he was inspired by the character Holden Caulfield from the Salinger's novel, Catcher in the Rye. Wow. And it says, soon after the news broke the Lennon's passing, a worldwide outpouring of grief followed. Fans gathered to remember Lennon outside the Roosevelt Hotel and in front of the Dakota Building. Fans set up vigils, which lasted weeks. The following day, Ono issued a statement. There's no funeral for John. Later in the week, we'll set a time for a silent vigil to pray for his soul. We invite you to participate from wherever you are at the time. John loved and prayed for the human race. Please pray for the same for him. Love, Yoko and Sean. Psychiatrist deemed Chapman a borderline psychotic and was instructed to plead insanity. However, he pleaded guilty to murder and was sentenced 20 years to life. He remains behind bars despite his numerous attempts to request parole. There is now a John Lennon Memorial in Strawberry Fields, a section of Central Park across from the street from the Dakota Building that Ono's landscape in memory of her late husband. Yeah, sad. You know, and like you, Ono or not, she witnessed all that. She was there.
Yep.
Always. Incredible. There's no reason for that, just to have something like that happen. What was this guy doing? Planning on murdering John Lennon. And, you know, and then to be able to go just do it, fly from Hawaii and do it. Jesus. It's you wonder why the elite, the rich, famous become elitists because they can only hang with each other. They can't be out in public for this reason.
That's right.
You know, you had, what was the Hinckley, was the one, was Jodie Foster, tried to kill President Reagan.
Hinckley?
Hinckley. Yeah, and then Squeaky Fromm here in Sacramento tried to kill Gerald Ford. That was one of Charles Manson's. Yeah. But it just shows sometimes you'll see some athlete or some famous rock star, but you say something you think is pretty stupid. It's not real. It's not what the way it is. It's probably because they've lost touch with where we are, because for safety reasons. And I can understand that. So they only hang with each other. They're only influenced by other elite, rich people.
I don't know.
You just got to remember that if you follow a celebrity's opinion and you don't draw your own research, just remember when shit hits the fan, that celebrities on his Learjet out of this country, so don't think they're going to come pick you up. It's amazing how it can be influenced like that. I think the government has its own task force with some of the culture, some of the rap artists and stuff. They are huge, very influential. I don't know. FBI's have a force also. Let's play. I saw one. How about A Day in a Life? This was right in the heyday of Paul was dead. There you go. Oh, darn. Let's see. Let me do. Okay, Day in a Life. There it is. Day in the Life is a song by the English rock band The Beatles, released in the final track in 1967 Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album, credited to Lennon and McCartney. The verses, oh darn it, so he said something.
So sorry.
They jumped out. Can we just go ahead and play?
A Day in the Life is a song by the English rock band The Beatles that was released as the final track of the 1967 album Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, credited to Lennon McCartney. The verses were mainly written by John, with Paul primarily contributing to the song's middle. Lennon's lyrics were mainly inspired by contemporary newspaper articles, including a report on the death of Guinness heir Tara Browning. The recording includes two passages of orchestral glissandos and were partly improvised in the avant-garde style. In the song's middle segment, McCartney recalls his younger years, which included riding the bus, smoking, and going to class. Following the second crescendo, the song ends with a sustained chord playing on several keyboards that sustains for over 40 seconds. The Day in the Life. Here we go. Army had just won the war. The
shoes and grabbed my hat. Made the bus in second class. Found my way upstairs and had a smoke. And somebody spoke and I went into a dream.
Holes in Blackburn, Lancashire, and though the holes were rather small, they had to count them all. Now they know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall.
Yeah, I can't wow. say about that album that you might not know. You know, that album there was a claim it's one of the world's greatest albums when it ever was put out. It was one of the first albums that people couldn't sing along with because it had background sounds that they picked up off the street and stuff, and that was the first time anybody ever done that, and it was a claim to a new kind of music, everybody changed the way they recorded from then on. They started putting different kind of sounds from the outside the band in the songs. It was the first one that did that.
One of the first albums?
The first album
what is that? Tanner, did you do that?
No, not even in the studio.
I didn't do it either.
Anyway, that album was the first one to use the sound outside the studio where they couldn't go on stage and do it because they had music outside in the outside world that came into the album. So that was the first they ever did that. That's for history's sake. And they won a bunch of awards for it.
You know, it'd be very difficult to pick what's your favorite album. I mean, my God. You got Rubber Soul, Sgt. Pepper, Abbey Road. Help, the early ones. The early songs. Everything before probably Rubber Soul.
I think Lennon's album is better than Beatles.
Don't say that again.
I think Lennon's solo albums were better than the Beatles. He had some great music. I thought I was like Lennon better than the Beatles.
Yeah. You know, it was good to see that all of them had success afterwards. The Beatle that felt the most screwed was George. He had no rights listed to any of the songs except from Abbey Road on. They had B-side. I think Abbey Road was the first. I think it was something. It was the first A-side written by George Harrison. Yeah, he was the most, I think he's the one that thought he was going to get screwed the most. Maybe he did. I don't know. When the rights came out in the, I guess Apple recording stayed intact. I don't understand. I don't know what happened with Apple. I know the Abbey Road studio stayed. It was only one of three studios in England, actually two, that everybody, all the rock bands, recorded in Alan Parsons was the other on the other studio. Yeah, some of the lyrics. This one is probably this is more of an ode, you know, talking about his woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head, felt run down to take a cup. I looked up and noticed I was late. Just a description of day by day. Then I read the news today, oh boy, 4,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire. Those are the panels that you stare in the ceilings. How many holes are there? Although the holes were rather small, they had to count them all. Now they know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall. I'd love to turn you on. Day in the life. For those just tuning in, this is ATOV Radio. We are doing a tribute to John Lennon. This is 41 years ago tonight. He was assassinated in New York City. John still making money off his name, still iconic in the history of rock. Beautiful. Okay, that's So Wayne, all the songs, what's your favorite Beatles song, would you say? Unmuted.
Wayne?
Maybe I had to get it.
Yeah, okay, maybe you had to step away from the phone for a moment.
Yeah. Okay. Go back and find the songs again. Let's play another one. I saw one. Each one's, you don't have stacked. Each one of those is one song, right, Deb?
Yes. And if you're following the topic board, I'm deleting them as we do them, so I think there's like four left. That way it's a little easier to find.
Okay. Let's go. How about Don't Let Me Down? Here's a song by the Beatles recorded in 1969 during the Let It Be sessions. It was written by John Lennon and credited to Lennon and McCartney. The band recorded the song with Billy Preston, who I'd consider the fifth Beatle. The single released with Get Back was credited to Beatles with Billy Preston. You leaving? Okay. Yeah, I remember the Beatles were down south in Alabama or somewhere down south of the United States, and they showed up with Billy Preston to play. Billy Preston would play keyboards, and that is Billy Preston. Does an iconic, beautiful keyboards on Get Back. The owners of the stadium or the promoters, they said, "You're not going out there. That black boy count is not going on stage with you." Referring to Billy Preston, John Lennon turned and says, "He's a Beatle. If he doesn't go on, we don't go on." Well, Billy Preston ended up playing Get Back that night. They were most insulted. That's why I consider when they said, "Who's the fifth Beatle?" Some say Pete Best. I say it's Billy Preston. So Don't Let Me Down.
Okay. And I am also in the process of downloading a song, a cover song by Budo. So we have that to look forward to as well. And here we go with Don't Let Me Down.
Don't let me the first time. Don't you know?
Down, screaming in key, John. You'd imagine the music would be around if he wasn't taken away from us. Man, we've run into ATOV Radio. We're doing a tribute to John Lennon, his life and assassination 41 years ago today. Number here is 646-668-2837. That's 646-668-2837. Share something about the Beatles. Come and hang with us if you like. God, so much. In 40 years, let's see, in 19, I just had it. John, like anybody, there were tragic moments in his life. I believe he was raised by his grandmother, his aunt, his grandmother. And his falling apart with one of his kids, Julian. He's got like five kids. I didn't know. He's got some daughters. I'm trying to find that. John was a. If you'd asked me if I could meet or have known somebody in the past, Lennon might be one of them. Pick his brain, find out where he's at, what he learned.
Jim Hatter, I'm very excited to tell you that the cover song has been loaded in your studio, and the cover song is by Budo. And I was wondering if you might want to hear that.
Let's put it on. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you, Budo. Can't wait to hear it. And here we go. Nowhere Man covered by Budo.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans. Nobody doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, he's alone.
1965 on their album Rubber Soul, except in the United States and Canada, where it was first issued as a single A-side in February 1966 before appearing on the album Yesterday and Today. The song was written by John Lennon and credited to Lennon and McCartney partnership in the U.S. The single peaked at number 3 at a Billboard Hot 100 and number 1 on the chart compiled by Record World magazine, as it did in RPM 100 chart in Canada. The song was also released as a single in some countries where it had been included in Rubber Soul, including Australia, where it topped the singles charts. No Way Man, thank you, Bruno. That was excellent.
That was so awesome.
Yeah. There's some lyrics here. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing. Nowhere man, the world is at your command. Great poetry. Great poem right there. He's as blind as he can be, just sees what he wants to see. Nowhere man, can you see me at all? Nowhere man, don't worry. Take your time, don't hurry. Leave us all till someone else, somebody else, lends you a hand.
Such beautiful amazing lyrics. Poetry.
It is. Nowhere Man. Yeah. Wow.
So we have 3 more songs, Hatter. How about if we do them and educate on them and call it a night?
Sure. Sounds good. Let's see. We got Oh Darling. Paul McCartney screaming. Paul's got to be able to do it too. Alrighty. Oh, this is off the Abbey Road album. Oh, sure. I introduced it first. Okay. Oh Darling, a song written by the Beatles, appeared as the 4th song on the 1969 album Abbey Road. It was composed by Paul McCartney, credited to Lennon McCartney. Its working title was Oh Darling, I'll Never Do You No Harm. Although not issued as a single in either the United Kingdom or United States, a regional subsidiary of Capitol successfully edited it as a single in Central America, having Maxwell Silver Hammer as its B-side. It was also issued on the single in Portugal. Apple Records released Oh Darling in Japan and Here Comes the Sun in June of 1970. A lot happens in 1969 and 70. Wow. Okay, if we push the button. This is the first song I tried singing. Me and a buddy down the street had a guitar and some drums. Yeah. Terrible,
yes,
absolutely
I
terrible.
I love this song. Here we go, oh darling.
Oh darling, please believe me. I'll never do you no harm. Believe me when I tell you, I'll never do you no harm. Oh, darling, if you leave me, I'll never make it alone.
I remember trying to sing that in the garage, my buddy's garage. I figured, well, he's screaming in the, in the mic. They don't have to harmonize it. He's just screaming in the mic. Wrong. It was terrible.
He sings with such conviction that you just, like, want to scream it with him. I just really love that one. Anyway.
Well, you know, if you listen to John's voice, like in Instant Karma, or what was the other one we just played? He's got such soul in his voice, for lack of a better term. He desperation when he wants to make you feel that loneliness, abandonment, sorrow. I mean, John has a great way of expressing that through his voice. Paul, he just screams.
Yeah.
Gotta give it so he can scream the key, yeah. What's that?
I said, yes, he does scream, and it was awesome. So now we have two more to go.
Let's go
in our little adventure. Say that again. Eleanor Rigby.
Eleanor Rigby.
Yes.
Song by the Beatles in 1966 on the Revolver album. A great album. Also issued on the double A single, side single, paired with Yellow Submarine. The song was written primarily by Paul McCartney and credited to Lennon and McCartney. The song continued the transformation of the Beatles from the mainly rock and roll and pop-orientated act to more of an experimental studio-based band with a double-string quartet arranged by George Martin and lyrics provided narrative loneliness. Eleanor Rigby broke sharply and popular music conventions, both musically and lyrically. I had read an article that John and Paul went to the nearby town, Glasgow or something like that. There was an actual Eleanor Rigby. They did not know that. Who was buried in the adjoining town. I wish I had that in front of me. A little more haunting because Eleanor Rigby was written as a stroll down Abbey Road Lane or Abbey Road Penny Lane. It's not Polythene Pam, meaning Mr. Mustard, but it was the other medley. Well, anyway. Eleanor Rigby, one of the greatest arrangements from Lennon and McCartney. Push the button.
Look at all the lonely people. Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
Eleanor Rigby, Father McKenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near. Look at him working, darning the socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? And Eleanor Rigby died in a church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came. Father McKenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walked from the grave. No one was saved. All the lonely people. Great lines. You can learn a lot.
How do you learn a lot by listening.
Sorry, go ahead.
I put her husband's tombstone on the chat wall, and you'll see that about about the middle, it says also Eleanor Rigby. And then beside that photo is an actual photo of the real or the person named Eleanor Rigby.
And where did you put that? On the chat?
In the chat wall, yeah.
Okay.
But it says, my dear husband, John Rigby, who departed this life October 4th, 1915. And then it says, at rest, so Francis, wife of, and then there's, you know, a few other things listed there. And then it says also Eleanor Rigby. So I think they had the one family stone, and the way it looks, I imagine that as the women were added, they put their names on, but it doesn't seem like they even got a date or anything, just also Eleanor Rigby. Interesting.
Yeah. Eleanor Rigby. Yeah, I'll get a revolver.
I find it quite the song you saved for last.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something before you read that last stuff? Or do you want, that sounded weird. Is there anything else you wanted to do to wrap up before you read about the last song?
No, we got an hour and a half in.
Hey guys, how about the show today? Great show.
Thank you. We had fun, yeah. I had her packed it with information. And I'm glad you hung out and listened to the whole thing. And
yeah.
We thank you for the poem,
okay.
and we thank Udo for the cover song. And
oh, yeah.
Wayne, can you guess what song had her saved for last?
The Beatles would be
like John
Lennon.
Oh, it's
John. John Lennon, imagine, probably.
Nope.
What
good guess, though. Yeah.
The song last was written by John Lennon in 1971 from the album of the same name. Best selling single of this solo career. The lyrics encourage listeners to imagine a world of peace without materialism, without borders, separating nations, without religion. Shortly before his death, Lennon said that much of the song's lyrics content came from his wife, Yoko, co-writing credited, while not yet confirmed. Nice try, John. Imagine, John Lennon.
Yes, he's right. Great song.
Imagine that. Wonder if for greed or hunger, or brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday
imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for. No religion to. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. You know, you can live and you can hope and you can pray, but mankind is greedy. Mankind is flawed. I would like to think that someday there would be universal peace, but there's been war on this planet since the beginning of time. I don't think there's been ever a time where the world was at peace. Well, I want to thank everybody. Thanks for hanging with us for this John Lennon tribute. 41 years ago today, John Lennon was taken from us. A sad event shook the world. Deborah, thank you so much for doing all the heavy work. Udo, thank you for the song. Appreciate it. John
Excellent
Lennon.
Excellent tribute.
Beatles.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Packed with information.
Yeah.
Song. I got to hang out with two guys all night and have Budo sing.
Yeah.
Excellent.
No way, man. That was excellent. Nice choice. Well, can we go out with a song we already played?
Absolutely.
Let's go to the beginning. Let me do. I love the harmonica in it. So this is Jay Hatter saying good night from ATOV Radio, a team of voices from All Poetry, Blog Talk Radio. Merry Christmas to all.
And see you guys tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern, for sweet discussions with Sweet Pea and a side order of open poetry.
There we go.
Love and respect. Thank you, Hatter. And here we go out with Love Me Do.
Love me do.
Rest in peace, John Lennon. Good night, everybody.
Rest in peace. Later.
Night, Deb.